Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
And so these trees, they have obviously a unique soil. They have a climate in Tanzania that I imagine is not much like St. Louis. Was it hard to replicate these conditions to get this to grow well?
Yeah, the soil is a very interesting environment. It's a raised coral reef. So you can imagine ancient coral sticking out of the ground everywhere, coral rocks. And we were debating whether it was actually going to flower in our during our careers, during our lifetimes even, because trees like that can take many, many years.
I'm Sarah Fenske. Last month, one of the rarest trees in the world bloomed right here in St. Louis. It's called the Coromia gigas plant. And when it bloomed in a greenhouse owned by the Missouri Botanical Garden, it may have been the first time a trained botanist, or maybe even anyone ever, had seen it flower. And joining us today to explain why and why it matters is Andrew Wyatt. He's a senior vice president of horticulture at the Missouri Botanical Garden. Andrew, welcome.
Thank you for having me on today.
So, Andrew, tell us about this plant. What does it look like and where is it from?
So, Coromia gigas is quite a large tree. In the wild, it can grow from 40 to up to 80 feet tall. And it's got this fantastic red, reddish colored bark. It's a dry season dormant tree. And it occurs in the Mitumbia forest in Tanzania and Lipo forest, which is what the locals in Tanzania called the Miambo forest. It's the littoral coastal forest of eastern Tanzania.
So how is it possible to say, you know what, it's possible no one has ever seen this plant flower before this?
Well, you've got to imagine these are plants that grow in very distributed areas, and they take a long time to get to. So they're not commonly occurring. There are only 25 individuals in the wild, and those are in small populations spread across large areas. So you can imagine if something's flowering, it's a 2 centimeter by 2 centimeter flower, and the flower's 50 feet off the ground, and it only stays in flower for 24 hours. Someone's got to be right there to see it flower. So the species was only known and described from fruit and bark before. So this is the first time that scientists have been able to see the flower and be able to understand that it actually does belong to the genera that we think it does.
And now that you know this, now that you've been able to see this flower, what can you do with that information?
Well, the key thing is, of course, conservation of the species. So to conserve a species, you have to know what it is. And secondly, you have to know how rare it is and where it occurs. And so once we have that as horticulturists here at the garden, we can then start to understand how to conserve that species. And so the flowering itself is important for us because we can now understand what conditions it flowers under. We can begin to understand how to cross the individuals to create more genetic diversity, potentially produce seed. So the species has several challenges in the wild. It's affected by a fungi in the wild, which wipes out the seed before it even gets to mature. It also probably is going through genetic bottlenecking because there are a small number of individuals occurring together in distributed places. So it's not actually fruiting and creating many viable seed.
So those are
all problems.
Yeah, this plant does have some problems. And as you mentioned, only 25 of these maybe in the wild. How was it that the Missouri Botanical Garden was able to get these seeds and germinate this plant then, where we had this big breakthrough?
We have a an Africa and Madagascar department that works on taxonomy, and Roy Giroux heads the work in Tanzania, and he's been working in there for a long, long time with the Tanzania Forestry Service, and we were able to write a memorandum of understanding with the Forestry Service to actually allow us to help conserve the species ex situ, which brings the species out of Tanzania, and also supports the in situ conservation of the species. So we did that in about 2017, and in 2018 we received 6,000 fruits from Tanzania.
And so these trees, they have obviously a unique soil. They have a climate in Tanzania that I imagine is not much like St. Louis. Was it hard to replicate these conditions to get this to grow well?
Yeah, the soil is a very interesting environment. It's a raised coral reef. So you can imagine ancient coral sticking out of the ground everywhere. Coral rocks are visible all over the place in the forests. And it's basically covered in termite frass, a very thin layer of, as you could call it, soil. It's kind of like a very fine granular material left over from what the termites have eaten. So it's a very odd material. One of the first challenges we had, of course, was finding viable seed. And we spent about 18 hours, the team, we had a team of staff working here to open the fruit and scour that fruit to find viable seed. So it took us 18 hours to open those 6,000 fruits. And we only found about 111 potentially viable seed from those 6,000 fruits.
My goodness. You can see how maybe this plant is having some trouble. That's not a lot of viable seeds there.
Yeah, and out of that 111, we were able to germinate 29. But the good news is that out of the 25 individuals, we've got representation from about 7, we think. And that's really important because it's not just the plant itself, but it's the genetic diversity we want to consider in the conservation of the species. So the more individuals we've got, the more genetic diversity we've got, the higher chances we've got of being able to create viable breeding populations back in the wild.
So a lot of work went into this moment. As you said, it only blooms for 24 hours. Take us to this moment. Was someone watching at the point when the bloom blossomed?
Yeah, Justin Lee, one of our main propagators here at the garden, who's been involved in germinating the species and actually did the initial germination trials, was down there watering the plants, and he sent out emails to several of us that have worked with the plant, and I think the excitement was just very evident, and I think people ran down to greenhouses to take photographs of the plant. I emailed Roy Giroux, who was actually across the other side of the country at the time, but the excitement was very very evident amongst the staff. Obviously, it took 3 years to get the plant to flower, and we were debating whether it was actually going to flower in our during our careers, during our lifetimes even, because trees like that can take many, many years. So we were very, very happy to see it flower in 3 years.
So what a huge relief. It flowers. You all rush down there. You have just 24 hours to do what you need to do. Now is this a matter of having to wait for years for this to happen again?
No, we've actually had two of the individuals flower at the garden here. So we've had one flower, and actually the flower did die within 24 hours, and Roy was out. And then we had another flower a couple of weekends ago, and we were able to harvest it and preserve it in pickle it in alcohol so that we could botanically describe the species based on the dimensions of the flower. So we've had it flower multiple times. We now know that it flowers as it's coming out of dormancy, so it flowers on new wood. So I think, if I was to bet, I think that we're going to see flowers probably every year on the species as it comes out of dormancy. Maybe sporadically. In the wild, it goes through seasonal flowering, so it may flower and fruit for several years, and then it will have a year off. And so we know that about the species already.
So you've been able to learn quite a bit since this just first happened a couple weeks ago. Going forward, is this going to be something like the corpse flower there at the Missouri Botanical Garden, where when this happens, the public all gets to rush in and also enjoy this 24-hour window of this flower's life?
Yeah, I think we haven't got any art on public display yet. And the reason for that is because the species is so rare, we wanted to be able to figure out how to grow the species first before we actually put it out on public display. But that's coming. So it'll be added to the Climatron very soon. I think what we've been trying to work on is understand how to propagate the species fully. So we've been able to germinate the 29 individual seed, and it was kind of like a scattergun effect for us. We tried lots of different methodologies to be able to germinate those seed. We didn't have enough to play around with, but the ultimate goal was to make sure that we germinated some. So now we've been going through over the last 3 years several different propagation trials. We've been working with it in micropropagation in the lab in agar jelly to do cellular multiplication and even micro cuttings to be able to then see if we can root. And Caleb Dorvac, our micropropagator, has been able to produce roots on micro cuttings. So we know we can propagate it in micropropagation. And now we're also trying traditional vegetative propagation to see if we can root it, which is important because we can multiply it without relying on the seed, which produces very, very low viability. So the idea is to approach it from several different angles and make sure that we can be able to propagate it vegetatively and from seed.
Well, Andrew Wyatt, these are some great leaps forward. We want to congratulate you on this, and thank you so much for joining us today and just explaining all this significance.
Thank you, and I hope everyone's able to come and see the garden and come and see the chromia when it comes out on display.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here. Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.